101.7 FM, 710 KEO, Micah McCarty on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Caddo Parish School Superintendent Keith Burton joining us. Keith, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Mike. How are you and Aaron?
Doing very well, thank you, sir. Tell us about the disciplinary committee pushing a new agenda forward to change some school. What are the new discipline measures that we're looking at?
This was a committee that meets throughout the year to make to dig into any changes that they see needs to be made in policies. We know as new challenges come up for schools and parents and principals, then we need to be reflective of that in policies. And many times we just need to clarify the language so that it's, again, easily administered across all schools. And so that's what happened yesterday. It's a committee made up of, we had a school board member, we had principals, we had counselors, teachers, parents there, and they discussed, they looked at our cell phone policy again, really clarifying what does a school day mean? Does that mean when the bell rings, when the student arrives on campus? So they clarified that. Then they really got into looking at suspensions and expulsions, what is an adequate amount of time for a family to appeal if there's been a suspension, also what flexibility there is for principals or our district for expulsion versus a suspension. And then a big one that really needed a lot of clarification was around vaping, because we know vaping is something that unfortunately is a major challenge with teens today. In the past, it used to only deal with vaping with tobacco and nicotine, but now, unfortunately, there are just so many controlled substances, THC, that are finding their way into those vapes. And so we really wanted to make sure that we were aligning the consequences appropriately with the substance that was being used.
And the vaping, it seems like it could be so easy to hide now, because you're not, you know, the old smoking in the boys' room, lighters and cigarettes and, you know, a lot of smoke. But now with these vape, these little devices, it's very easy to hide and use.
Yeah, and of course, technology's grown a lot. We have vaping awareness devices in the bathrooms that will alert the administrators if vaping is occurring in the restrooms, which is very helpful. But you're right. I mean, they are getting smaller. Mm-hmm. They are getting more, unfortunately, just the substances themselves are getting stronger. And it's a real challenge. And so, you know, we know the very first thing to do is make sure there's good education out with teens, making sure they know the challenges around those, making sure that parents are aware. But our policies have to have, you know, they have to reflect common sense. And so, you know, if we've got a student who's using a normal vape versus someone who's using a vape that has THC in it, there should be some differentiation in consequences.
Let me go back to the cell phone you mentioned. You said we need to determine what they mean. Under this change, what will the school day mean? Will it mean, you know, till you're off our campus? What does this committee decide?
Yeah, what they are recommending, and by the way, you know, what they are addressing is revisions they would like to see the entire board consider in a change of policy. So recommendations will come from this committee, and what they are recommending to the board that the board will vote on in April is the school day is going to be as soon as that student arrives on that campus, whether it is 7:15 in the morning or 7:55, as soon as that child is on the school bus, doesn't matter. As soon as they are on school board property, the restrictions for cell phones end.
So no cell phones on a school bus?
That's right. I mean, they have them, but they have to be put up just like they have to be in a classroom. Now, we know if there is an emergency that certainly, you know, they can contact parents. We want to make sure that it's appropriate for, if they've got to get in touch with parents, absolutely. But we also, if there's an argument or something going on between two kids, we don't want five cell phones coming out videotaping that and then posting it on social media and causing an issue. And so we wanted to make sure that, again, we were just defining what the school day was, when is it appropriate on campus and on buses. And so they've really kind of eliminated any confusion about those enforcement windows through the policy.
And at the end of the day, I may have interrupted you, it's until you leave the campus or get off the school bus, correct?
That's correct.
Oh, wow.
Absolutely. And let me say, I mean, there's really nothing that's changed about that. We just, because that's how it's been enforced. We just wanted to, again, make the policy cleaner, continue to refine it. And if there's not a principal, a teacher, and I'm telling you, 80% of the kids would say it's been one of the best changes we've made in this state is addressing cell phone usage and instruction. I mean, it has helped discipline. It's helped comprehension of content. It has helped across the board and really impacted students successfully.
That was what I was going to ask, if you've seen positive results. And so you just answered that question. And I'm glad to see
that. We thought it was going to be a monster to enforce, but
right.
It was not. No, I mean, it really wasn't. Of course, we had to deal with the speed bumps right during implementation at the beginning, but it has really changed the culture, especially at the middle and high schools. But and when you talk privately with students, they tell you themselves, you know what, it really is nice to get away from them. So it's definitely been something that we are that we're excited about.
It just reminds me of that study from years ago about the children on the playground. When there was no fence around the playground, as a general rule, the children clumped in the middle of the playground. But once a huge fence was built around...
Yeah, I've forgotten about that, yeah.
They were all over the playground. They felt safer. They felt more comfortable. They need restrictions. Mm-hmm. Children
need
boundaries.
Yeah, absolutely.
Can you hang on with us? I want to talk about possibly privatizing more schools in Caddo.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
Caddo Parish School Superintendent Keith Burton, Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710.
Get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Caddo Parish School Superintendent Keith Burton on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Keith, we know Fair Park is operated by a company called Third Future. It's privatized. Linwood, they operate Linwood. Is there discussion on other schools also going private or being operated by a private company?
No, the Linwood came from the Recovery School District. It was not under Caddo Parish control before. It was under the RSD control. And Dr. Brumley and Bessie made the decision to move it from the RSD to Third Future. And their contract extends through 2032. Now, Fair Park is one of our schools that is now being run through next year by Third Future, and we will begin conversations with Dr. Brumley and the state regarding the return of that school. And really, one day I hope to also have Linwood back in Caddo Parish. But, one of the things to note is this year we have not received any applications for new charters in Caddo Parish, which tells me they know that, first of all, we're offering a good product in the district, but also that we have enough choice options available for families, that charters really, they're not healthy in our environment. They don't necessarily see the need as they do in Orleans and other parts of the country where charters are flourishing at a much higher rate.
So we don't have any schools right now that there is discussion about possibly privatizing them with Third Future or anyone else?
Not that I'm aware of. And we have, of course, I speak very frequently with LDOE, with Dr. Brumley. There, matter of fact, I mean, I think he is very pleased with our work in the district. We grew again last year. We are making great strides in the areas that, you know, for many years have been challenges for us. He's really pleased and says, you know, quite frequently that especially our high school redesign work is almost a state model. Our pushing students into internships and giving them opportunities to expand their, you know, their experience during their high school. So not at this time. Again, there's been no formal applications and there's been no discussions with the district, the school board, or LDOE about any expansion locally.
Do we still have, and the reason Brumley stepped in, I believe, is because we had some of those schools were considered failing. Do we have some schools that are still considered failing schools in Caddo Parish?
Yes, we do have some that are very close. Matter of fact, you know, we celebrated this year Atkins that had been a failing school and had been, you know, the school really most people talked about as far as state takeover for years. It had been almost a dozen plus year, almost 15 years. Of being in failure, and this year we pulled it out. They are no longer a failing school, and so we are aware of those that still aren't meeting our mark. What means more than anything else is ensuring there's a high quality principal there. There's high expectations. There's no doubt we're providing the support.
So how many do we have that are still failing?
I don't have that off the top of my head.
Okay,
and get you all of that information. We have reduced that number by approximately 40%. You know, when you're looking at, and the reason why I'm hesitant of giving you that is now with a new change of accountability, the numbers that are on the top of my head, they're proposed letter grades, and then they are the actual letter grades. So Okay. Let me give you what the truth, because I don't want to give you incorrect information off the top of my head.
Gotcha. Now you, is there any, are we in jeopardy of Brumley coming back and saying, hey, you still have these failing schools, something different? Or do you think he's confident that we are on the right track? You said, you know, he's been pleased. But if he still sees a list of failing schools that are still on that list, in jeopardy at all of him stepping back in?
I would say no. I think we are aligned with, first of all, our priorities are perfectly aligned with the state priorities. He is very pleased with how we are funding our schools. He is very pleased, and, you know, the data is showing what we are doing is working at all levels and with all types of students. Matter of fact, I was just speaking yesterday to a group of potential superintendents around the district and, you know, was able to lay out plans where we are showing in the past few years, we've not only improved school growth, but we've increased the performance of those that are in poverty. We've increased our special ed performance. We've increased all of those subgroups, whether it's EL students, English language speaking students, non-English language speaking students, and across the board. We are making gains with all of those areas. And so I don't think there's any, instead of us working against each other, I think he's really seeing, but based on the changes that we're making, that his attempts is to work with us. And how can we either, you know, further accelerate the growth that we're seeing in the district?
Well, it sounds like we're going in the right direction. Mm-hmm. And congratulations, Keith. We appreciate your work and efforts.
Well, it's not me. I want to tell you, we've got, of course, a board that's very supportive, and also the work and hats off goes out to the staff, the principals, the teachers, paraprofessionals, bus drivers, all of those who show up each and every day. Very, very appreciative and honorable of them.
And I appreciate that, but it starts at the top, Keith, and we thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Always. Mm-hmm. Talk soon.
It's Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
More breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Harsher penalties for solicitation. That's the goal. Senator Alan Seabaugh with his new proposed bill. Hear what he's got to say right after the break. Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and be sure to download the free Keel app.
Back to the big stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
On the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline, Senator Alan Seabaugh joining us. Alan, good morning.
Good morning. How are y'all?
Wonderful. Thanks for joining us. SB 199, offering stricter penalties for solicitation of prostitution. What was the impetus, if you will, for proposing this bill?
Well, first of all, there's a lot of bills coming through the legislature that are putting mandatory minimum jail time for certain offenses. Stephen Jackson, Representative Jackson from Shreveport, brought a bill last year that enhanced the penalty for certain solicitation of prostitution offenses, made second offense a felony going forward. But at one point, a mandatory minimum jail sentence was in the bill, and then it got taken out. This is one of the things that we're trying to put it back in. One of the problems with the legislature is that we almost never get anything right. We address things, and it's usually a compromise. And usually what comes out at the end of the day is close. We address the issue, but we didn't get it exactly right. So I have probably half of the bills that I have filed this year are cleanup bills from previous legislation that passed that needed to be tweaked a little bit. And this is one of them. There are multiple bills working their way through. And this was addressed by the several DAs had contacted me. And it's a constant fight between DAs and judges. Certain DAs actually, unlike Caddo Parish, actually prosecute people. And they are worried about judges giving people a stop on the wrist or giving reduced sentences. So mandatory minimums are coming back. We moved away from them 10 years ago or so, and they're coming back. So there's multiple bills this year putting a mandatory minimum jail sentence for certain crimes, I guess to prevent judges from letting people out without jail time. I don't think the judges are a problem in Caddo, but in other parts of the state, apparently they are.
So there's a mandatory minimum. Is it now a felony, a second offense?
It is.
I didn't know if it had gone through.
Yeah, Stephen Jackson got that through last year.
Okay.
It is a felony now, but it's not. There's no mandatory jail time.
So what's the minimum jail time for that now?
In the bill, it's 6 months. Obviously, it still has several steps of the process to go through. And the bill is going to be amended. I was contacted by several people that are concerned with human trafficking. They were afraid that the legislation could be used to criminalize people that are being trafficked and are involved in the exchange involuntarily. We made a conscious effort to not do that. And one of the statutes that we were amending is one that some DAs use to prosecute the one being trafficked. And so we're going to try to tweak that and fix that because that's not our intent. The argument from my standpoint is sometimes one of the people involved in the prostitution exchange is involved against their will or involuntarily, but the one actually paying for it is never involved involuntarily. So I'm trying to focus on that to reduce demand, so to speak.
Okay, let me ask you this. When y'all raise minimum jail sentences, we need to talk about more jail space. 14% of the inmates at CCC are state inmates. Is this going to come with more state prison beds? Is that going to be part of the equation?
Well, not specifically in the bill, but yes, we are looking at adding space and building more prisons. The CCC is not supposed to be a place for people that have already been convicted. It is generally a pre-trial holding facility for people that are awaiting trial. the legislation is going to deal with people that are after their trial, they're convicted, and then they become a resident of the, you know, of the state. And, you know, the state puts people in lots of places. When John Bell was governor, he shuttered a lot of prisons, wrongheaded in multiple levels. But we're in the process of reopening some of those. There's several bills to build new ones around the state. So addressing prison space is absolutely something that is on the table.
There's another bill, Alan, that would allow the governor and you guys to remove incompetent DAs and judges. That scares me a little bit, because what if John Bel Edwards is governor and he doesn't like a DA somewhere? Do you have governors that kind of power?
It's potentially very problematic. I jokingly tell people, I'll let you know whether I'm for it after November 3rd, if I know whether I'm DA. Truthfully, it is problematic.
And you don't want John Bel Edwards having that power, do you?
No, absolutely not. And I don't want John Bell to be governor again, but there's nothing I can do about it, other than vote against him. It's not just the governor. I believe in the bill now, it's a governor and two-thirds of the Senate
right. Would
have to vote for it. So ostensibly, these would only be very egregious circumstances. But, you know, it is problematic to involve the governor and the legislature in things like that. The DAs are constitutionally protected, so it does require a constitutional amendment. I think it's a very high bar. I would need to study the details of the proposal very, very closely.
Mm-hmm.
It's something. Look, problem. We've done a good job with the Judiciary Commission and in giving them a little more teeth and a little better direction in disciplining and potentially removing problem judges. There is really no corresponding group that looks at district attorneys. And we do, quite frankly, have a couple of DAs in the state that aren't doing their job and probably need to be removed. I'm trying to remove the Caddo DA the old-fashioned way at the mm-hmm. ballot box. I don't think anybody can beat the Orleans Parish DA at the ballot box.
That person needs to be removed in Orleans?
I haven't studied exactly what's happening there that much, but from all the chatter I hear, yes. We have two DAs in the state that are problematic at best, at the minimum.
Orleans is one. Who's the other?
Caddo. I mean, what's happening in the Caddo DA's office right now, letting people out of jail, ankle monitors that aren't monitored, just letting things fall through the cracks, not prosecuting violent offenses, letting people out again and again and again, absolutely needs to be worked at. The best thing I could say about the Caddo DA's office is it's not as bad as Orleans. Other than that, it's really, really problematic, which is why I'm running for DA. So we've got to make a change. If we don't make a change, Caddo Parish is going to continue to suffer, and it's not necessary for Caddo Parish to suffer.
Well, let me ask you about Governor Landry's proposal to replace inspection stickers with QR codes. What's the status on that?
It's interesting. The bill itself just says replace inspection stickers. So the QR code is not in the bill yet, unless it's Larry Bagley has the bill to replace inspection stickers. And that all it does at this point is replace inspection stickers. Support the idea of getting rid of inspection stickers. The QR code is potentially problematic, and how it's worded is going to be looked at very closely. I can envision a significant problem with giving a potential stalker, kidnapper, somebody up to nefarious purposes, the ability to walk up to a car,
mm-hmm.
scan a QR code, and get the name and address of the person driving.
Or the person owner.
That is potentially very problematic. So there's a lot about the QR code that raises red flags. I can't say I'm dead set against it because I haven't seen it. I haven't seen a bill yet. It was just proposed in concept by the governor. And I think on first blush, looking at it, the idea of a QR code, which everybody has a scanner on their phone, is potentially very problematic. And to say, oh, well, we'll only give law enforcement access, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, you know that an app will be developed.
Yeah, an app will be developed. It'll be hacked. Passwords leak. I mean, that's not a solution. So we'll have to look at the proposal very closely, but a lot of red flags go up, and it's not just me talking. A lot of people are raising the red flag, but the governor has a tendency to pick things that are problematic. He did it last year with his insurance bill and browbeat legislators until it passes, even though I don't think there's anybody that thinks House Bill 148 last year was a good idea, but it passed because the governor uses his influence to influence legislators. And I've talked to some people in the House that say he's already twisting arms and using his office to push this. And again, I can't say I'm against it because I haven't seen the bill yet, but it's potentially problematic.
But are Bagley's efforts to eliminate the inspection sticker going to be dependent on this QR code proposal?
That I don't know. I mean, that's what I was about to say. The getting rid of inspection stickers is a good idea.
Yes.
I completely support that. Do we need to replace them? I mean, some states don't have inspection stickers at all. And, you know, what are we going to do with the QR code? Is the QR code going to be somehow tied to the inspection sticker? You have to go to an inspection center station, get your vehicle inspected, and input the data into the QR code. If that's the proposal, I don't think you've done anything. You still have the same process. You're still doing it. I think he said it was going to be cheaper, $4 instead of $10 a year. I don't think the $6 a year is the problem. It's the time and effort of going somewhere,
right?
Waiting in line, but you know, going through the process of having the inspection. Like, that's what we need to avoid. And if we're still going to have to do that and just have a QR code instead of an inspection sticker, I don't think that should be the goal.
State Senator Alan Seaball, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Mike and McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on the free Keel.
Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
This is kind of crazy. After all the debate, Caddo Parish Commission they voted to move forward with funding for the Rougarou.
Well,
is that accurate?
Not quite. It is what they do.
Well,
is
they didn't kill it.
They didn't kill it. That's exactly what
I'll say that.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. No comments about it during yesterday's meeting. One person got up and spoke against it during public comments. They did what is called in globo, where they take several items that are on the agenda and they combine them together in one lump sum.
Okay, right.
And then pass them all together with one vote.
Okay.
That was part of the in globo.
Okay.
They in globoed that item in everything else they did because they had so many resolutions at the front of the meeting, and they honored a lot of military folks who have died in service, and their families were there. They had a long, long meeting. And so they in globoed a bunch of items, business items, and just passed them in one fell swoop. That's what they did.
Now, Keith Carter told us, we asked him, is he going to the meeting? He goes, well, I can. Did he go? Was he there?
I don't know. Okay. He didn't speak.
Okay.
If he was there, I don't know. I was told prior to the meeting by a few people that it was going to be pulled from the agenda, that it was just going to be pulled and kind of set aside. That didn't happen.
Okay.
They englobed it and moved it forward for 2 weeks from now. So it...
Interesting.
Which I don't understand. If your intent is to, you know, hey, the backlash of this was way too much, we need to get rid of it, kill it, move it, you should have done it yesterday. Why wait 2 weeks? So you're going to bring up the firestorm again in 2 weeks. You're going to have another firestorm on Monday at the work session and then Thursday at the meeting, and everybody's going to show up. And, you know, it's going to be one of those where we'll try to get people, you know, from the Rougarou and folks who support the idea to show up and speak. You know, like the data centers, when they did that, they made sure that they had people showed up that supported the data centers. Let's be sure we have a lot of people from both sides. And they set all that up. We're not stupid. They think we're stupid. And then we think, oh, all these people support it. That may be what happens. I may be surprised, and it's killed before it ever gets to the next meeting or pulled from the agenda completely.
So when you say they set that up, who's they?
Oh, people who are pushing whatever whatever they're pushing. People who are pushing for the Rougarou funding will try to find a way to get people to come out and support it. Come out and support it. This is important.
Well, that's natural.
But
there's nothing nefarious about that.
But you're twisting people's arms to get them to come up there and say things that they might not otherwise want to say. You know, I don't know. And I feel bad for those Rougarou players who they dragged out, you know, on Monday, who got up there and talked about how great. Because we didn't know the full story. We didn't know everything. And we were literally told things that were not true. Like Bossier Parish is not waiting on Caddo to act. Bossier Parish hasn't been asked for any money.
So was Lyndon Johnson at the meeting?
I didn't see him. He didn't speak.
Okay.
Nope. Nobody else spoke, but one resident got up.
Okay.
That I saw. Perhaps I missed part of the meeting, but I didn't see anyone else speak in favor or against the Rougarou. So we'll have to wait and see what happens in a couple of weeks. I just don't like that they're going to let it settle down. And then it's going to bubble back up. Just, you know, if you know these things are controversial and you're going to kill it anyway in 2 weeks, you should have disposed of it yesterday. Just get it out of the way.
Well, maybe they didn't intend on killing it, if you will.
That could be. I'm told it's dead. It's dead.
You were told it was going to be pulled yesterday.
Yep, could be. Again, they could be peeing on my leg and, you know, telling me it's raining.
That's a disgusting phrase, by the way.
Maybe I should change it.
just say it.
TTing on my leg?
No, it's not even that. Leave the leg. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel. One seven FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty. This is funny.
They really make me crazy. And I try to understand them with all my heart. I try to understand them. It started with Rush. Rush was one of the biggest millionaires who fled New York because of the taxing.
Right.
He moved to Palm Beach. Big mansion there. He set up his studio there, did his show from there. He wasn't alone. I mean, it was
Sean Hannity did the same thing.
It was just hop on the train of millionaires leaving New York because you taxed them to oblivion.
And then you elect a mayor, a socialist communist mayor, who immediately, what did he do?
Raising taxes.
Raised them even more.
Now you have the lovely Democratic governor, Kathy Hochul. Wait till you hear this. She is... just play it, Ruben.
What I want to make sure we are smart about is having a system in place where it's not just taxing for the sake of taxing and being conscious of the facts that I need people who are high net worth to support the generous social programs that we want to have in our state. Right? Now, there are some patriotic millionaires who stepped up. Okay, cut me the checks. I mean, just if you want to be supportive, but maybe the first step should be go down to Palm Beach and see who you can bring back home, because our tax base has been eroded. So I philosophically don't have a problem. It is like I have to look at the fact that we are in competition with other states who have less of a tax burden on their corporations and their individuals. And I would say remote work changed everything. There were people who could only work in an office in Manhattan or work in New York State, and they were captives to our state. They were going to stay. We saw that that's not the case. I mean, you know, Wall Street businesses looking at Texas, they're not going there because they have a nicer governor. I know that for sure. But they're going there because of the tax rate. We have to be smart about this. And but we can fund what we want to fund with what we already are taking in.
She's out to lunch.
She's clueless.
Cuckoo.
They don't have a nicer governor. Well, actually, Texas does.
Texas has a nicer governor. Yeah. You lost your people because your tax rates were too high. Now you want your wonderful people to go down to Palm Beach and bring them back while you're still raising taxes.
Let's ask Sean Hannity if he's going to go back to New York.
Is he going back? Yeah. How many millionaires in Palm Beach are going back? How many millionaires that fled to Texas are going back? They're not.
Oh, this is priceless.
And then another idiotic move by one of these nut job cities. Did you see what Chicago's doing?
Oh, this is wonderful.
This makes me crazy. I thought it was a lie. I thought, is it April Fool's Day yet? They are raising the hotel motel tax to 19%. 19%. So they can use the money to market the city to get you to come there.
We're going to charge you more when you get here.
So we can market to you to come here. Do they not understand if your tax rate on your hotel is 19% and a convention is looking for where can we go? It's a fun city. We can get decent rates on hotels. We can have fun. When they see a 19% tax on a hotel bill, they're going to go, eh.
Let's see, Chicago or maybe Austin. Let's look at Austin. Oh, look at the tax rate in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, amazing.
Let's do Austin. Let's do Dallas. Let's do Vegas. Whatever.
Let's do Miami.
Yeah. They don't understand.
They don't get it. That's the mentality. Tax.
Raise the taxes to encourage people to come.
I remember.
How's that working for you, New York?
Yeah. I remember the beginning of the demise of the newspaper. And when Micah was swimming, when we were at Auburn and swim parent, we were kind of, my wife and I were kind of an anomaly on the swim parents in Auburn because there's a lot of people with a lot of money.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
And one of the swimmers, the girls was her dad was like the publisher of a paper in Chicago. I don't remember what it was, or one of the suburbs. And he said, I'm the publisher of a dinosaur.
Yeah.
And subscription numbers continually dropped, and yet subscription rates kept going up and up.
Mm-hmm.
Like you want more money, you want more people to subscribe to your product, so you're going to charge more.
Yeah, yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
I know. I got a text, too, about something in California. Have you seen what they've done?
Oh, nothing surprises me.
$114 million wildlife bridge so butterflies can get across a highway safely. Yeah, they built a $114 million.
That's got to be AI joke.
I'm telling
that's
you,
an AI
I've
joke.
Seen it everywhere. I'll have to double check.
That's got to be a joke.
It's in the Daily Mail. That's an international publication.
That's a Great Britain publication, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
To help butterflies cross the road. It's already over $114 million, and it's not complete yet.
But they can't get water in their reservoirs.
Yeah.
We got summer coming up.
Yeah.
We got wildfires about to happen again.
Yeah. Yeah.
But we're going to spend $114 million to get butterflies across a highway. That's got to be fake. Although
said it was on Gutfield last night. They did a piece on it. I'm shocked. I'm like, wow.
I love it. Keep doing it.
Keep doing what you're doing because they're just moving away. They're moving away.
Right.
Come on, if you're living in California, bring some butterflies with you. They get across the road here fine. You know, we kill a few on the highway.
Maybe a truck will hit one.
Maybe a truck will hit a few. But the butterflies learn. Fly higher when you're going over the highway. You know what? Fly higher, butterflies. You don't need a little bridge to get across. Oh, yay, yay. Where is something I can drink that's heavy? This tea's good, but it ain't enough today. Oh, my God. They're wackadoodle, Mike. They're wackadoodle.
Well, they just don't get it.
Ugh.
Okay, I got a text. The butterfly bridge is definitely true. It was Fox News last night. And hold on, Governor. Governor Newsom was bragging about it.
We love our butterflies.
$115 million. We're not rebuilding any of these houses that got burned down. We're not helping any of the businesses reopen. But we're going to spend $114 million on butterfly bridges.
I have an idea. A multi-million dollar. You know how you have dry shampoo now? You can spray the shampoo
in
your hair.
They said that's not good for you.
Well, I don't care. For California, now let's just use dry soap. You spray your whole body with. You don't have water? You can clean yourself with this dry soap you just spray on. You don't have any water out there in California, but you have a butterfly bridge. Let's use dry soap to clean ourselves.
Butterfly bridge.
They're wackadoodle.
Yeah. Again, you can't get a U-Haul in California.
Oh, man.
101.7 FM, 710 KEEL, Mike and McCarty.
Back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 KEEL.
Another thing that makes me laugh, you know, Bill Cassidy has been calling Julia Letlow out, saying she refuses to debate. He wants a television debate scheduled.
Sure.
Well, they did schedule a debate on the radio.
Yep.
But they got Moon Griffon to host it.
Yeah, it's going to be on Moon's show April 28th. Letlow's confirmed. John Fleming's confirmed. Cassidy's not yet confirmed. Now, we must know... Cassidy hasn't been on Moon in, what, a year? More, better? I don't know.
Well, at least.
Moon's going to join us Monday.
Moon calls him Psycho Bill.
Yeah, he avoids...
There's no love lost there.
No love lost. He, not a fan. And you know, I think Moon will be fair.
Oh,
there,
I do too.
There are those that say he would not be fair to Cassidy, that it would be a, why would Cassidy do that? He knows he's just going to be on the attack. I think Moon will be fair. I think Moon will be fair to all of them. He will raise issues that all of them have and go from there. Is there going to be a little animosity between he and Cassidy? Probably. I mean, you can't call somebody Psycho Bill for 4 years and, you know, he not be a little bit troubled with you.
Well, and you can't do it during the debate.
No, you obviously cannot. And he wouldn't. Moon wouldn't do that. And Moon's on vacation today, and I have been texting him this morning, but I have to stop bothering him because he's on vacation. But he's going to join us Monday, and we'll talk about what's the format going to be. Are you going to have – what are your rules? What's the plan?
Right. That's what I was going to say. There has to be a format. There has to be rules like a formal – it's got to be a formal debate to be fair to each candidate.
And he's going to do it from 9 to 11. Again, April 28th is the date, so the whole show – that you'll hear right here on KEEL.
Right.
And, you know, you have to have some time constraints for each, because they're politicians. They'll go on and on and on. I mean, if you let them, they'll just take up the time and go, and you'll have to interrupt. And we know that drill.
Right.
But, and then some of the hard questions. We'll ask Moon, have they asked for a list of topics? You know, are we giving them a list of topics, or is it just a free-for-all? I love free-for-alls. In these kinds of situations, but typically in a Senate race, they're not going to agree to a free-for-all. A U.S. Senate race, they're going to want to know, what are our topics, so I'm prepared. So I'm sure Moon is putting together his topics, and he'll get it to them. Cassidy needs to be there. If he's the one out there saying, I ain't afraid of no debates, I'll do it anywhere, you need to show up. And then you need to press while you're there. We need to do a statewide televised debate, too.
Right.
We need to do this. Almost every state in the country has a televised Senate debate. This is our Senate race, and they actually play them on C-SPAN or whatever. They'll play the various Senate debates.
I would be surprised if Cassidy does not show up. I think that would be a bad move on his part, and I think he knows that. His people know that.
Yeah, I think you're right. And I think they need to be there.
He'll be there, and Moon will conduct. I think Moon will conduct himself in a manner befitting of a Senate debate.
And perhaps Moon and Senator Cassidy can mend fences a little bit. You know, I mean, there's a history of Cassidy that a lot of people are like, never
well,
anybody
but Cassidy.
The impeachment
vote has sealed it for a lot of our listeners, I know.
Oh, absolutely. Our listeners do not like
him
at all.
There's nothing that he can say that's going to change minds of a lot of our listeners.
You bet. Absolutely. He's a sitting U.S. senator. You got to remember that, with a buttload of cash.
And he's got a lot of influence.
Oh, absolutely.
In Washington.
Absolutely. What I'm surprised about is he doesn't have, you know, he doesn't have our Senator Kennedy. Where are you? You're sitting kind of on the sidelines. His buddy in the Senate.
He's been very quiet.
Yeah. Now, we know Landry is obviously let low, so the governor's pushing for let low. We'll see what happens.
101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty.
More breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
LSUS political science professor Dr. Jeffrey Saddo going to be joining us right after the break, talking about the Senate race and debate coming up. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, and on the free Keel app.
Hi. Back with McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
On the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline, political science professor Dr. Jeffrey Saddo joining us. Dr. Saddo, good morning. Thanks for jumping on with us here.
Howdy, y'all.
Thank you, sir. A debate has now been scheduled. It's going to be April 28th. Julia Letlow is confirmed, and Fleming has confirmed. Do you think Cassidy will show up?
Boy, that's a good question, because the way I understand how this works, or how it's all kind of evolved, this particular issue, is that Cassidy wanted three debates, and he wanted them with Letlow, and he said he would show up at debates where Letlow was going to be. It didn't seem to bother to invite Cassidy or ask him to be part of it, but, you know, again, so what Maroon Griffon has done here is basically he got Letlow to agreed to a debate, and Fleming, yes, of course, as well. Now it's on radio, but, you know, possibly what could happen to kind of make it on TV or video, let's say, is that Moon, I think, has capability to have cameras in studio, so that it could actually be streamed over the internet. And so now there's a date, there's a possibility of video streaming. Letlow is there. This apparently meets all the qualifications that Cassidy laid down to have a debate. So the ball's in his court now. The reason why he may not do it is because, first of all, Fleming's going to be there, and he didn't, he didn't specifically rule him out, but he certainly didn't want to include him. And then secondly, I don't know how eager he's going to be on the same broadcast as Moon, because Moon Griffon has been kind of he's let his feelings be known about Cassidy, and they're not very complimentary.
Well, he calls him Psycho Bill, for one.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. I didn't want to go there, but yeah, you did. So good for you.
Regularly. Now, are all three candidates going to be in the same room, or is it going to be on the phone? Do you know how that's going to work logistically?
Yeah, the intention, I think, is for them to be there in the studio.
Okay.
Which, as you all know, works best on radio anyway.
Sure.
Yeah.
So, that I think that's the intent. We'll see how that is worked out. But, yeah, that's what I gather.
Well, I think Cassidy's going to show up. I don't think he's going to miss this opportunity. He knows it's high profile. And it would not be a good look if he doesn't show up.
Yeah, and I think your second reason there is why, more to avoid again, it looks like everything has been set up the way he wants it. So it would, the optics would be really terrible if he didn't show up. So yeah, I think he's going to be ashamed into doing it, let's say.
Okay, but would you going in, if you're Cassidy, would you have a little bit of trepidation in that, is the room going to really be fair to me?
Well, sure. I mean, given Moon's, again, demonstrated attitude. Now, he says, from what I heard, is that he's going to have someone else from, like, a Lafayette TV station or something that's, you know, kind of well-known guy. He'd actually be the guy that's asking the questions and all. But, yeah, it would be on Moon's program. And again, Moon's kind of made his feelings clear about Cassidy.
Go ahead.
Why is Cassidy avoiding Fleming? What's the problem there?
Well, I think Fleming could launch or steer the debate into directions that Letlow wouldn't, particularly certain votes on certain things. Letlow, to some degree, is also handicapped by some of the votes that she's made, in terms of budgetary choices and the like. You look at the various scorecards that interest groups put out about voting rights of these people, and really Cassidy's and Letlow's are fairly similar. I mean, not exactly the same votes, but a similar range. Let's say 100 is all conservative votes. They'll be in the 70s, whereas Fleming's in the 90s, and so that would give him more room to maneuver to try to steer the conversation so that there are attacks on certain votes that Letlow also would be, quote, guilty of. So I think he's got a little more latitude. And so, another thing is that incumbents, typically they don't want to share the stage with challengers because it puts challengers, it makes them seem like they're on equal footing with the incumbent, and there's a little less of that with Fleming because he's been out of Congress. He's state treasurer. He's not in Congress, so he'd be elevated a little more, so to speak, than Letlow would be by Cassidy appearing on the same stage with both of them. So yeah, I think he'd be more hesitant to have Fleming there. Maybe that's why he didn't invite him, so to speak, with his request. But yeah, I think he'd much rather have Letlow there and only there, and not left Fleming.
Talking with Dr. Jeffrey Sado. Dr. Sado, you're talking about calling votes into question. Cassidy has already attacked Letlow on her stock trading. Do you think that comes up? And does that actually hurt Letlow?
I think it does, in the sense that it is the appearance of unethical behavior. There are questions about just, you know, what the timing was and just how late she was and all this stuff. But, you know, certainly, again, when you have verifiable reports of this, that's something that can be very easily distilled into a sharp, short message. So it is effective in that sense. Now, some people might think, she made money trading stocks. Good, so good for her. She knows what she's doing. But I think it's a net negative overall.
We typically, in Senate races, we have more than one debate. Will Letlow do another televised debate? Will she do a statewide televised debate? And if not, why is she shying away from that?
Well, I think in that circumstance, it's because some of the things we were just talking about are going to come up. Fair or unfair, that's what's out there. So, and she's kind of got the aura of incumbency as well, being a member of the House. So it's not that imperative for her. And if we look at this from the dynamics of the race so far, if Fleming's not the front runner, she's probably the front runner. And so front runners will tend to avoid debates because it's at debates that sometimes very silly things are said. And you can, if you're the person in the lead and you say something dumb, that's something that can just wipe out your lead right there. So people who are ahead in these kinds of races, they tend to, they want to conserve where they are. They don't want to take any risks. And a debate is a risk because you never know when something dumb is going to pop out of your mouth and damage your campaign.
Typically, they're going to have a list of topics, right? I mean, they're not going to have the questions ahead of time. I would hope not, but perhaps a list of topics. Is that what you would expect?
Yeah, the questions will be formulated beforehand, and then they'll circulate this broad general. You know, we're going to talk about like these four areas, you know, something like that. That's fairly standard practice. I would expect something like that. In fact, I think it would be demanded, sir, by Cassidy if he ended up participating, because he doesn't want especially any surprises from Moon.
Now, the three major candidates, Letlow, of course, the sitting U.S. Senator Cassidy, and Fleming, we were talking earlier, Aaron and I, about, you know, a lot of our audience is never going to forgive Cassidy simply on his vote to impeach Trump. That there's nothing that he will be able to say to win back a lot of those. How do you see that still hurting him, and how do you see this shaking out?
Yeah, it's definitely going to hurt him. And, you know, in part because of the popularity of President Trump, but also, if you look at that whole sequence of events, the whole impeachment thing, it was really, if you're in terms of looking for some kind of, you know, bad crime or something unethical in office or that, it's not there. Now, in the corner of the Constitution, you impeach a president for any reason whatsoever. So, you know, fine, go ahead, knock yourself out if you want to do that. But, you know, and particularly because at one point Cassidy said, well, you know, these are not impeachable offenses. And, you know, if he's talking about being some kind of serious crime in a legal sense, so he was correct. And then suddenly he changes his mind and votes to convict. So, this conveys someone that does not have a lot of political wisdom. We expect in our elected leaders to be able to make good governing decisions, and this seems like a really bad one. The impression that you get is that here we are at the end of Trump's first term, and Cassidy decides, all right, well, the Trump phenomenon is over. I'm going to move on and distance myself from it, and that's how I'm going to make a political hay out of all of this. And yes, wrong. Mm. And now he's paying for it. That's the way it comes across.
Mm-hmm.
And so again, that's something that's not going to endear particularly Republican voters to him.
Dr. Sato, thank you so much for jumping on with us, and we appreciate your input, sir.
Yeah, sure.
Thanks.
We'll talk to you soon. We're going to talk with Matt Kay also. He's the chairman of the Caddo Parish Republican Party after the news top of the hour. 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710
Keel.
I messed it up.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. It just it took my breath away because you never screw. I'm always the one screwing it up.
We're talking about the Caddo Parish resolution that would give $32,000 to the Rougarou. I thought it got englobed yesterday at the Caddo Commission, mm-hmm. where it got passed from Thursday's agenda to the following meeting. It's got a layover for 2 weeks. What I'm told now is that what happened Monday when they passed it, they passed the resolution, which essentially moves it forward. Like, you've passed it, now it moves it forward for the next meeting. So they didn't have to take action on it yesterday. So
they didn't have to englobo it.
No, they didn't have to. So it had already been moved forward. Now it lays over for its 2 week period, and you can have comment, and you know, you can flesh out all the details. But I was actually told yesterday it would be pulled from the agenda by
right,
a couple of people.
Right.
And that did not happen. So it could have been pulled yesterday. If we know it's going to fail, you should have just disposed of it yesterday. That's my view. Just dispose of it, get rid of it, and then move forward. Because now you're going to have it kind of dormant for a couple of weeks, and it's going to bubble its ugly head back up, and people are going to be back on you about why are we giving public money to a for-profit business for marketing.
But,
you know,
the timing understand. On this is kind of odd to me, because are we talking about giving $32,500 for this season? There's only four games left.
Giving it now. Yeah, they want it now.
Giving
they
it now.
Start marketing now, get more people in the seats. And I think by the time maybe it's voted on, there might only be three games left. There may right. be a game between now and then. I'm not sure. But there's been so much public outcry about this, that the doors that it opens and the things that were misstatements when the commission was pitched this plan, saying that Bossier Parish Police Jury is waiting on you guys to act. Nah, they hadn't been asked for any money.
Not true.
And we found out that, yes, the games are played in Bossier. We found out from Keith Carter that, yes, a Bossier restaurant takes care of the pregame meals, postgame meals. We don't know. We didn't ask where they're staying, what the hotel they're using. But some are saying they probably are staying in Shreveport, because I don't think there's a hotel in Bossier on that end of town right now. There will be eventually.
Okay.
Will they need more money next year? Good question. Still questions to ask.
And we will ask them.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Kay, chairman of the Caddo Parish Republican Party, joining us after the local news. 101.7 FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty. FM, 710 Keel, Mike and McCarty on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. Chairman of the Republican Party of Caddo Parish, Matt Kay, joining us. Matt, good morning. Thanks for jumping on with us.
Good morning, Mike. Good morning, Aaron. How are y'all doing this morning?
Good.
They're very well. Look, you're in the trenches. You're in the know. You've got the inside scoop. How upset are Republicans at Bill Cassidy?
You know, so it goes back to 2021 when he voted to impeach Donald Trump. You know, we as a parish party and as a state party voted to censure him. And most Republicans have not forgotten that he voted to impeach Donald Trump. And a lot of us have the philosophy of this year, we're going to remember our ABCs, anybody but Cassidy.
So. Does he show up for this debate on the Moon Show?
You know, he has made himself available to three televised debates, which is more than I thought he would. But I'm not sure that he would show up to debate on Moon's show.
See, I think he won't miss this opportunity. I think the as Dr. Sato said, the optics would be really bad if he doesn't show up for this.
Okay, I believe that he may show up, but you know. Him going on the Moon Show, I know Moon has been a large critic of Cassidy for years. I know that obviously Letlow would be a critic of Cassidy, and so would Dr. Fleming. So it would not be a comfortable environment. He may go on, but I don't believe that he'd be looking forward to it.
I know he would probably, as the sitting incumbent senator, he's going to set some guidelines, topics, you know, how long the answers will be. I mean, this is a Senate race. It's a big deal. What kind of rules do you think Cassidy would want included, and do you think Moon and his guys would agree to it?
So I would think that Cassidy would want to know the questions beforehand and not allow for any questions from his opponents, or not, you know, to try to limit the, you know, where they can take shots at each other. Typically, whenever you see a candidate ask for 1 or 2 minutes as opposed to 3 or 5 minutes, you know, there's not much you can work into 1 or 2 minutes as far as, like, talking about yourself and then attacking your opponent. So whenever you ask for shorter time and you ask to know all the questions and you don't allow for any random questions, that kind of sets more of a controlled environment. That would be something I would think you'd look for.
You think specific questions rather than topics might be required here?
I would think the specific questions would be required here.
Wow. Which
do
one of
think,
the...
Well, go do ahead. You think Moon will agree to that?
I have no idea. Moon's going to do what Moon most wants to do.
Right.
I think that Moon knows his viewership and knows where his listenership would be coming from. I don't know what Moon would agree to. I know Moon would love to have the audience of having all three Senate candidates on his show, but you know, I also know that Moon understands who his listeners are.
You know, I've had contact, a lot of contact with Fleming and Cassidy over the years. Letlow has not responded to me, to be quite blunt. Both of them are pretty good on their feet. Cassidy's exceptional.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in a spur of the moment type situation. Would he be a front runner to win a debate among the three of these folks?
You know, I have not seen Julia Letlow debate. You know, she got elected with relatively little competition when she first got elected to Congress, and I have not necessarily followed her as much, so I don't know about her. Dr. Fleming's good on his feet, best I can tell. Cassidy's good on his feet as well. You know, I would think that they'd do well. I will say that as the chairman of the Republican Party, we have tried to set up local forums here for the U.S. Senate candidate forums, and to Julia Letlow's defense, most of this was before she entered the race, but I'll tell you that Dr. Fleming, when he says he'll debate anytime, anywhere, every time we put a time and a date in front of him, he said he would be there gladly. He was the most willing participant in any chance at a forum or debate whenever we were trying to put one together here locally.
No response from Letlow, though?
So whenever Letlow got in the race, we only made one attempt. They were interested in a date. We didn't have any problems reaching out with her. It was the former field of candidates that, you know, we basically had one or two interested, but Dr. Fleming had put it on his calendar. He'd be there anytime, anywhere. And, he was the most responsive one mm-hmm. out of all the candidates back in that field of candidates.
What about Cassidy?
We were able to reach out to his campaign a couple times, but they kept asking questions of who else is committed to doing the debate. What are the questions? We'll get back with you. There was no yes, we'll be there. It was asking a lot of questions of what other candidates have done it, who's the moderator, you know, and then just not really hearing much past that.
When you talk about you, we're talking with Matt Kay, chairman of the Caddo Parish Republican Party, and our difficulty with getting in touch with Letlow. Do you find that it's that case of, well, it's North Louisiana, it doesn't really matter? Do you see that as well? Because I sure do.
You know, I hear it sometimes, but you know, yesterday we had a. An endorsement meeting for the Republican Party of Caddo Parish, and we had representatives from the Senate campaigns reach out. I believe Ralph Abraham's wife, Miss Diane, showed up on behalf of Letlow's campaign, and then Brendan Dubrock showed up on behalf of John Fleming's campaign. But we also had congressional candidates come in, and so on and so forth. So, you know, they made it a point to come up here and be a part of our things. Like the candidates themselves may not have come, but they've been faithful about sending campaign representatives up here to North Louisiana for at least Republican Party events.
So I got to ask you, who are y'all endorsing?
We endorsed John Fleming yesterday.
Did you?
Yes.
Wow. Okay. What sets him apart?
So we have a familiarity with John Fleming. He was our congressman from 08 to 2016. Obviously worked in the Trump White House and, you know, served as our state treasurer. We have a lot of comfortability with John. We've seen his record firsthand. I mean, he was our congressman. So, you know, I will say that there were people on our RPEC who may have voted for John that may be Julia Letlow supporters. I'm not 100% sure. There are people who haven't necessarily made up their mind, but at the end of the day, we knew we needed to take a stand to let people know that we are not Bill Cassidy supporters. So, you know, there was a conversation for a second of, you know, do endorse both Letlow and Fleming. But we stood firm and picked one horse, John Fleming, and that's the horse we're going to go with. And, you know, we are against Bill Cassidy.
Matt, was it interesting to you that President Trump endorsed Letlow and not Fleming?
You know, I don't know. I don't know what goes into getting Trump's endorsement, but it does not surprise me.
Does it bother you at all, though? I mean, Fleming worked in Trump's first term.
Doesn't bother me. You know, a lot goes into getting Trump's endorsement. And I don't know how all that works, but, you know, obviously Trump has enjoyed working with Julia Lettler, but I believe that conversation went something along the lines of they looked at some sort of polling, and at the time they knew that they needed to run somebody strong against Bill Cassidy, and that seemed like the clear option at the time.
Okay, how do you guys justify, you know, our governor's coming hard at Fleming. He's not happy with him. He's put out videos against him, and he's obviously strongly supporting Letlow. What's your message to the governor today about his attacks on Fleming? Should the governor have just stayed out of this?
You know, the governor clearly has issues in the state of Louisiana he needs to focus on as well. He's expending quite a bit of political capital coming after John Fleming. You know, typically whenever somebody endorses a candidate, you see an endorsement graphic, maybe an endorsement video, and they go promote the candidate that they're endorsing. You know, I've never quite seen a candidate or a governor take it to this level of not just endorsing one candidate, but attacking another candidate. I don't know how well that's been received when you look at the comment sections. You know, there seems to be people who are taking up for Fleming who aren't happy that the governor did that. So kind of a newer thing that I've never really seen before. I personally, whenever I'm 18 months up from re-election, I probably wouldn't spend the political capital on that race. I would be working towards my own re-election.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Definitely.
Matt, thank you so much. We appreciate you joining us this morning.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Thanks.
We'll talk to you soon. Mike and McCarty, right. 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
More breaking news and trending talk with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
Okay, I need to correct something that we talked about a little earlier.
You screwed something up again?
I screwed something up.
Okay, good.
Okay, this bridge, California, $116 million, is that
114.
Right? 114. Okay, well, with taxes, it's 116.
It's going to go over that, though. Yeah, it's going to keep going.
Okay, we called it a butterfly bridge,
mm-hmm.
but it's not, it's a wildlife.
Oh, okay.
Bridge.
Okay.
We got some messages said misinformation. The bridge is for cougars and mountain lions.
Okay.
So not butterflies.
So they can cross the highway.
So they can. How are you going to get?
Are you going to make them?
Right.
Go over the bridge?
Is
there going to be like a cougar cop sitting there going, cougars, come this way.
Over here.
Here's your bridge.
Now, if they jaywalk,
they're going to have to bait
CHP
it. They're
going to give them a ticket.
They're going to probably have to bait
jaywalking.
It to get them to, you know, to get them to come up on the bridge. They're going to be leery of the bridge, I'm sure. They'll probably have to put some meat up there or something and get the cougars to come through there at night.
I love this message. Not to defend any stupid thing California does. However, it's not a butterfly bridge. It's a wildlife bridge. Still stupid.
Yeah.
But it's not designed for butterflies. It's designed for animals. Again, still stupid.
Okay. I don't know why butterflies is coming into it. I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know where that came from.
I really don't know either. State Rep Joy Walters is going to join us in about 10 minutes. She's proposing a bill that would create a domestic violence registry in Louisiana. Really, really
domestic violence registry.
So you could look up and you could see, are there domestic violence, just like a sex offender registry, kind of. You could see where are domestic violence offenders in your neighborhood.
Okay. If they did a map with little red dots, I'm telling you, Caddo Parish would be covered.
Well, we have a lot of sex offenders on there, too. Go look at that. It's kind of sad. But it'll give people a pre-warning. Hey, this guy you just started dating, you know, he's got 3 priors for domestic violence. You know, if they've got 3 priors, there's going to be a 4th.
Sinbad had a great routine on that. Women are like, he said, you crazy. Well, he kind of cute.
Oh, God. Oh.
No. That'll be interesting. That's mm-hmm. in about 10 minutes. 101.7 FM, 710.
Stories of the day with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
State Rep Joy Walters joining us right after the break, talking about her bill to create a statewide domestic violence registry. I think this is a great idea. We'll get her to explain. 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Back with more of Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710 Keel.
on the Jack Spring Electric Newsmaker Hotline. State Rep. Joy Walters joining us. Ms. Walters, good morning. Thanks for jumping on with us this morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you all for having me. Glad to be here.
Well, I told Aaron, I think this is a fantastic idea. Ruben and I both do arrest mugshots each week, and then we also get reports every week, domestic violence arrests, and a lot of them are multiple arrests. This, I applaud you for to explain this domestic violence registry and how it will work.
Sure. So the domestic violence registry, it is slated to help to capture those people who have multiple felony offenses dealing with domestic violence. And so the person would have to register within 5 business days with the sheriff's office and pay the fine and be on this registry website. And the implementation of the website will be done by state police as well as the Louisiana Advocacy for Domestic Violence Death Association. They are committed to assisting state police with this type of implementation because it's going to be a little bit different from the sex offender registry that we already have. Because we want to be intentional about keeping the identity of the survivors who are still victims sealed, as well as of children as well. So we're navigating that, and the advocacy group, they are going to assist state police with that portion of the implementation.
So the full names might not be included? Is that what you're saying?
No, the full names will okay. be included.
When you say multiple, yeah. when you say multiple offense, what do we mean? 2, 3? What's your goal?
Two or more.
And you're calling it the Purple Promise Law. You know, I've done some domestic violence work in the past. Purple is, of course, the color for preventing domestic violence, and so I love to see that. How long will a person have to stay on this registry?
So they will have to be on the registry if it's their first offense, not their first offense, rather, but if it's their first time on the registry, then they will be on the registry for up to 1 year. However, we've set it in tiers. So if you have to appear on this registry again, then you will be on there at that point. We have some amendments, so you'll be at that point on there for a lifetime.
Okay. I saw part of it said 5 years if you had to get on there a second time, but y'all are still working out the details, I guess.
Yes. And we just decided to go from appearing one year if you have this is your first time on the registry. However, if you have been on the registry more than once, which means that you offended again and now you're back on this registry again, so 2 times on the registry, we are saying that it is for a lifetime.
And the fee is $250, and I love the fact that part of it's going to go to help prevent domestic abuse. That's your goal, right?
Absolutely. Prevention is the ultimate goal, and we have to make sure that the organizations who are out here doing the work and the great people like, you know, yourselves can continue to do that work. And it takes funds.
Have you gotten any kickback on the bill?
I have. The implementation of it is the main concern as far as cost. So I am negotiating with the Sheriff's Association as well as with state police so that we can get some of those costs down. And what is happening statewide is that we are seeing increase across parishes in domestic violence.
Absolutely.
And so 10 years ago, when former Representative Patricia Smith ran a very similar bill, it was going to do the same thing, create a domestic violence registry for multiple offenders. her fiscal note was a lot less than it is what they're proposing to today. But the demand is increasing. And so we're in conversation right now. How do we meet this demand with intentionality, reality, but also how do we fund this for the long term? Because our goal is to help victims, help survivors, help families just become healthier all the way around. And so we want to be sure to implement this with intentionality.
I'm looking at your bill and all the crimes that can be included: violation of protective order, cyber stalking, stalking, domestic abuse, battery. We have to remind people that domestic violence is not just a partner against partner or spouse. It could be a child against a parent or vice versa, or a brother against a brother. There's a lot that comes under this umbrella, right?
Yes, there is. There is a lot that comes under this umbrella. And so I would say, hey, you have to tread lightly, do your best to control your emotions. If you have inclinations of abusive behavior, go seek help. Go to counseling, go get prayer, whatever it takes for you, because, you know, we cannot continue to play around with domestic violence.
Our police chief, Wayne Smith, I'm not sure if you're aware, went before our Caddo Commission on Monday and really laid out how this is a problem. The numbers, while other crimes are down, this is one of the crimes that keeps going up. And he talked about, and personally, his personalized story, how it impacts young children, how when children grow up in a home like that, this might help intervene. This might help change things. Is that your hope?
Oh, absolutely. We want to see the trend instead of trending upward. We want to see the trend go down. And so that ultimately is the goal, is that the trend goes down, more lives are saved, more children are growing up with their parents in the home with them. And so that is the goal, is to reduce this public safety, public health hazard.
Well, mm-hmm. Representative, thank you for joining us this morning, and good luck on your efforts.
And keep us posted.
And
yeah.
We appreciate it.
Thank you all. I will keep you all posted. Thank you for the work you do.
You bet. Thanks.
Uh-huh. We'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye. Micah McCarty, 101.7 FM, 710keel.com.
Let's get back to the show with Mike and McCarty on 101.7 FM and 710keel.
We haven't talked about this, but I don't watch reality TV in general, mm-hmm. anyway.
I do.
We did. My daughter and I did. We got into Duck Dynasty.
Okay.
When it first ran,
mm-hmm.
knew it was scripted, but it was still fun.
Yeah.
And still funny. But that's really the only. Now, when I see shows like The Bachelor and The Bachelorette,
mm-hmm.
and to me, the problem is for these 13, 12-year-old girls that are watching this show thinking this is how you find love.
Right.
Is disgusting to me.
And you,
Aaron,
go on these extravagant dates on helicopters.
Or they're having sex in the hot tub with one girl one night. And then another in the laundry room, another.
They don't have sex, Mike. They don't have sex. They just make out.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, then that's okay.
This is a stunner, though. This is a stunner. I think the show was set to premiere on Monday.
Yeah.
This new season.
This is hilarious.
Which we know the whole new season's in the can.
Right.
It's all done. They've canceled it. It's a Bachelorette. Her name is Taylor Frankie Paul. The entire season has been canceled because TMZ unsurfaced video showing her throwing quite the tantrum. She's throwing chairs. She's throwing a fit, screaming, cursing at her ex with one of her children nearby.
standing there crying.
Yeah.
Mommy, stop.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So the whole season has been canceled.
And, wasn't the lady arrested? Domestic violence arrest?
I think she might have been arrested. Yeah, I think so. And it's almost like kudos to ABC for canceling it and not trying to use this
right.
to get more publicity. Oh, she's changed and she's a different person. You know, nah, we can't do this. She's got a problem and we can't put a spotlight on her. We can't do that.
She was also on the reality show. I say reality show, parenthetically. Mm-hmm. Reality. There's nothing real about them. Secret Lives of Mormon Wives
yes.
or something like that.
Yes.
She was one of those.
Mm-hmm. She sure was. And she obviously has, you know, anger issues and her season, she's done. I mean, she won't be. I mean, the Bachelorette franchise, you know, she'll be ostracized. She won't be able to come back for any shows or, you know, anything. She's done. I'm not sure what ABC is going to do for their Monday nights now.
That's what I was going to ask. I wonder what they're planning on doing.
Or what their backup plan is. But
run episodes of The Love Boat.
That would be good. what's that millionaire show Regis used to host? I'd like that.
Oh, yeah.
There's a new host now. You could run that. There's a lot of different things you could do. I'm not sure what ABC's plan is, but they got a lot of weeks to fill now on Monday nights.
Very interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, have a good weekend.
Thanks. You too.
Ruben, any gigs?
Next one, next month, the Sauce album release party.
Oh, cool.
It'll be quite the time.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Oh, brother. Oh, Possum, where art thou? Sorry about that.
Look us up.
101.7 FM, 710, Keel, Mike and McCarty.